everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast today. As always, I am your host, Celeste Moore. But before we dive into today's episode, I would like to introduce my guest today. His name is Alex Shaler. And what he does is he aims to help overcome the anxiety, limitation, and feelings of lack that come from the ego. The voice in your head, the story of quotations, me, in the mind. He loves to combine teachings from Western neuroscience to Eastern mysticism and everything else in between to help you live with more energy, vibrancy, and freedom. Everything he communicates comes from lived experience, and he has also applied his own life experiences to overcome his own dark nights of soul and to transmute pain into peace. Well, thank you, Alex, for being on today's show. I appreciate you coming on, and I can't wait to start asking you some questions.
Thanks for having me, Celeste.
Yeah. So first off, I would love to start off by talking a little bit more in depth by what it is that you do and what were some of the reasons that led you into this line of healing work.
I help people understand, know their true nature, and then embody that on the human form. When I say true nature, what I call myself is a non-duality informed coach, which means I do coaching with people. I leverage coaching and different therapies to help people, but it's specifically non-duality informed, meaning it's informed by this idea that our true nature is something deeper than these ideas about ourselves that we have in our mind, these limited ideas about who we are, and this, like, even down to the idea of being a person. So non-duality is like what basically it says is that peace and freedom and flow are our true nature. That's who we really are. That's the starting place. And it also recognizes that within that, there's this character that seeks things in time, that seeks liberation or happiness or peace within things. And that's fine as well. But that, as you recognize your true nature beyond that, tends to fall away. And the message really is pointing to more experiencing of yourself. And when I say self, I mean a true self. The one who's aware of this, not the idea of yourself in your mind, but the one who is just simply this open, aware presence. So that's where the non-duality message is really pointing. Okay. It's pointing to us to recognize that and rest within that. And then all kinds of healing can flow from there.
Yeah, I was at another time in here, I was going to ask you about the non-duality because I was not quite sure what that meant. So you're kind of stripping away ego, you're stripping away everything that kind of, or how we perceive ourselves, but really about like who the soul is, who we are as a being. Is that kind of, am I off a little bit?
Well, basically there are no real problems here, but the problem, you could say, relatively,
okay,
for many people is that we try to find last manifesting peace and happiness in things, in relationships, in material things, in substances, in different experiences. But what we find is that none of these things tend to bring us permanent peace or happiness. Obviously, there is so much joy to be had in a relationship. But when we depend our well-being on it, that's when we become attached. That's when we really try and grasp it within our hands and then we crush it. So non-duality is about looking beyond that idea of just being this person who's seeking something in time and looking more deeply at who we already are prior to that. What's the nature of this awareness that's aware of that? Is that seeking? Is that dissatisfied? Are who you really are lacking, or are you already at peace? When you look at the space of awareness, which is yourself, and you investigate that with your attention, you find that out to be the case. But I would say, don't believe anything that I say and see whether or not it rings true for you in your experience. Many people experience it in meditation, psychedelics, all kinds of different ways. But really, those are all just what it looks like. There's no preconditions to awakening. It's just knowing yourself as beyond this idea of being a person, which is the ego. It's just a belief. It doesn't really exist.
Right. Okay. That explains a little bit more. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. It's when we can actually be present and be, and I think that's so hard for people that I know. You know, you're on this hamster wheel, right, of life, relationships, work, you know, things like that. When you can sit with yourself and actually be, and who is that person, and are you comfortable with that person? Yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, non-duality really, in one way, it kind of removes all of those obstacles, because what it recognizes is there is going to be no end to that seeking of that person. And not even that end of the seeking is required to be present, because all being present is just recognizing the present. It's like the person can't do anything. We can't really do anything to be aware of our true nature as people, because our true nature is prior to the person. It's the one who's watching this and dreaming this, you know, it's the awareness behind the person. So yes, it's difficult for the person. Really, it's beyond difficult. It's impossible. There's nothing that the person can do, because it's always on that hamster wheel, as it were. But that arises in this awareness and is not an obstacle to just recognizing yourself as this awareness.
So what, I don't know, if you woke up one day and you said, you know what, maybe working on my spirituality, or you had a, you were in another position at some point and you said, this is not working for me. What kind of drove you into the direction of this line of work that you're in?
I was introduced to Alan Watts, who is a Zen philosopher, but really he didn't like labels, but he was a guy that brought over a lot of Zen Buddhism over to the West, and also taught on many religions and philosophies. So there was a priming there, you know. When I was 15, someone introduced me in some internet chat room. So, you know, I began listening to, we could say spiritual is not quite the right word, but maybe philosophical talks from a younger age. But I mean, I think this speaks to the gift of suffering, because it wasn't really until I experienced, you know, the revelation of really deep pain until actually the things that Alan Watts was talking about, and what I was then introduced to, Eckhart Tolle, you know, most people know this guy now, quite mainstream, The Power of Now, big book.
Yes.
And I got really deep into that after a breakup, which just made that narrative in the mind go into chaos mode, you know, before it was holding itself together by telling a story about the situation. But when the situation collapsed, then that whole mental story became like a horror movie. And so at that point in time, I'm like, well, I want to, it's like, yeah, the person wants to escape from that in a way. And that's when, like, in a way, it's like the mind turns around and looks beyond it. So you sort of turn around and look beyond what that story is all about, because that story is talking about this pain and that your life is terrible and everything's collapsed. And what am I going to do now about money and love and this terrible future that might happen? And so, and this, you know, deep pain in your chest, like a real, like, breakup pain is real pain. Physical pain. Oh, yeah. In the body.
I've been there.
And your nervous system and your muscles and everything. So yeah, you sort of, I was wanting that transcendence. And that's what the power of now gave me a kind of access to, because essentially non-duality is what Eckhart Tolle's teaching. But he's just a bit more what you could call compromising, in a way, like, sometimes people, it's like teachers put steps there because the idea is that people are not going to want to go all the way there. That's too maybe abstract. And so it's the present moment, you know, when I talk about awareness, maybe it sounds a bit less accessible, but the now, the present moment, sense perceptions, what you're experiencing, that's like quite, it's a bit hooky, you know, people can,
more tangible.
It takes their attention away from the mind and it drives it into, you see what I mean? So that is a kind of like a preliminary step in a way. But eventually I discovered things that were more and more direct.
Okay.
More and more direct. Just go straight there, straight to, we are this awareness, become aware that you're this awareness. And live experientially from there. And that living from there, you're liberated from the tyranny of this story in your head about your life. When I ejected my attention from that mind story and just held it as this aware presence, then it's like the suffering of that story just instantly disappeared.
Wow. That's amazing.
So yeah, because it's like, I'm not that person anymore. When you're identified with the mind story and you're saying, I'm the Alex, or I'm the John, or whatever your name is, I'm the person in that story to which this bad thing happened. And it means these things about me, about however I am or whatever it is, you know, that is a whole world of torture. But when you eject from that, the thoughts may continue going,
yes,
but you see it more as a movie that's happening, as opposed to, I'm this person who is, you see? And so you're able to act from a place of peace. It's all about bypassing or not thinking about reality. We can be real about it, but we all know most of these thoughts in our mind are negative, repetitive, limiting. They often ramp up when there's fear or loss, and you become defensive, and we're often in this survival mechanism. So yeah, it was really about ejecting from that.
Okay.
And knowing a deeper sense of self or a deeper aspect of reality. So that's what I help other people see. Or just be a pointer to. I can't really help them. I can just point the sign and say, that's you. Go and investigate it for yourself. Don't believe me. When you just stay present, which is really just be knowingly this presence, what happens in your life? Run the experiment. That's my invitation.
I love it. Yeah, I think because kind of what you teach or you bring to your clients is, I deal with a lot of men, right? And so they're looking for stuff that's very tangible, right? Tools, how do I? Mm-hmm. And for some men, I feel like this is so, like, I'm just generalizing. Of course, my experience with some of my clients has been, you know, when I talk about stuff like this or get a little bit in tune with what's really going on with who they are, they, you know, they can't quite see it. I think it comes from practice. I think it comes from them really, like you said, trying things out that work for them. I mean, is that something that you, do you have very specific, like, 'cause I know you do breath work, correct? A lot of breath work.
Yeah, it's like, so all the tools that, you know, that we still use tools, like in my practice, I still use tools. Practices and tools are great for like refining the body and mind. Yeah, for whether it's a male or a female, there are things to do. But the question is like, what is that doing in service of? Are you trying to fix yourself? Are you trying to fix yourself from a place of being broken and trying to become something for someone or become something in order to gain some kind of peace or happiness or fulfillment in the future? That can happen from breath work, dating, trying to make money, you know, like all the things that we do, any practice that we do. It's just really a question of where is it coming from. So they're all useful, but when it comes to non-duality and awakening, then none of them are necessary because there's no preconditions to recognizing who you really are. Now, the embodiment of that, if you really are awareness, peace, love, you're not this limited person in your mind, then, yeah, like over time, there is an embodiment of that. And part of that might be healing your traumas, correcting your posture, you're relaxing, like breath work, learning to regulate your nervous system, learning to be more of an express, you sort of, there's an unfolding, you learn to be more of an expression of who you are over time, and that it does take time,
right?
And it takes healing and growth, but the recognition that you're already that is immediate and unconditional.
Got it.
It has to be. If you are love, if we are love, this is what we say, we are love, God is love, whatever, then it has to be without conditions.
Yeah, I think it's just for people getting comfortable with their authentic self, with their real self, with, like you said, and not changing for someone else, because it doesn't work. I mean, nothing works when you're not who you are. And I think I know I try to teach authenticity, right? Really getting comfortable and with who you are, what you are, what you desire, what does your life look like? You, but based on you, nobody else, no external factors. And, you know, that's huge for people to recognize that they are, and okay with that, you know, without all the judgments. They're not okay, I don't care. That's who I am.
Well, maybe speaking deeper to your point with men do tend to have a specific conditioning of not feeling, we could say like not feeling emotion or not feeling feelings, certain feelings, because they are deemed as not useful or not practical or not safe to feel. I mean, if you think of someone who works perhaps in the military, then maybe there is this idea. So this is sort of archetype of masculinity, isn't there? Of not, maybe people would maybe say it's a toxic one or whatever. I don't really want to use that term, but you know what I mean? It's like boys don't cry kind of thing, because it's not useful. We don't really understand why it's there. It just looks like a moment of weakness. And so therefore, a lot of the times these things are blocked because it's like, it's not safe to feel, it's not useful. But for example, if you don't cry, so just taking crying as like the archetypal kind of man blocked emotion, but you know, things are changing, but stereotypically it's the one, isn't it? And it's like, you know, people think if I cry, I'm going to lose my wife or my girlfriend, you know, and that's actually, you know, doing that is the completion of an emotional arc of like, it's the end of anxiety and anger. So if you're not going through that, you're going to get stuck in emotions. You're essentially going to traumatize yourself. So when you are just being your true nature, knowingly, like if you're just being awareness and you're not being this, having this attention always focused on the personal aspect of yourself and your mind, then then these sensations in the body tend to bubble up, all the stuff that's been suppressed, and the mind may come in within many people and say, no, 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 I can't feel that. So it's about cultivating that safety, but the safety within, you can cultivate that safety practically, you know, having people around and mm-hmm. having resources in which you can feel safe to be the full range of who you are. Because you're talking about authenticity. Well, you can't be authentic if you can only be 80% of who you are, because the other 20 isn't safe to be that way. So it's cultivating the capacity to have that bandwidth of yourself expressed within a knowing of safety practically, mm-hmm. but also philosophically is the key. Mm-hmm. Like, are you safe existentially? This is the point of not the non-duality has a point, but what I'm trying to say is that it speaks to an understanding that, like, you are fundamentally okay. You know, you are safe to be who you are.
Yeah, I think that safety issue that you talk about really stems from your childhood. And having unconditional love, which it's different than love. It's different than what you rationalize and what you need as a child. And so you take those habits and those things that you've maybe coping skills. And yeah, if you feel safe, if that came from that, I mean, I know you can heal this, right? But it's something that mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. really is coming from what your parents gave you, that safety. Do you think
mm-hmm. That is why reparenting in a way is so important. Mm. But reparenting is sort of a term from more the therapy side of things. But really what it means is it's just like you could call it repatterning, but it's repatterning, you know, so perhaps underdeveloped circuits, as it were, with a deeper, a wiser understanding. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting you said, you know, basically we're empowered to when we get unconditional love. So when the love of who we already are is embodied within our caregivers, that's tend to be where the offspring seem to more quickly recognize that themselves. That would make perfect sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it does come in time through us healing our traumas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does come from us awakening to who we are, but also, like, over time, who are we being in the world? Are we passing on these traumas to our young, you know, to our children, or are we healing them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we don't pass it on to the next generation. And then the next generation can live more free. To be
right.
authentic.
I hope so. I hope everybody, like, you know, takes that responsibility, and when they become a parent and really don't want to pass that on. We want to heal for sure. I mean, I know I do.
Well, so. We're all doing the best we can.
The work in progress, right?
We're all doing the best we can.
This is true. So do you think there's different types of anxiety, or is there just like one response that our body has, which makes us anxious?
You can answer the question from a couple of levels. On a brain nervous system level, you can mm-hmm. make a distinction. It's not really just different types, it's really the sources.
Okay.
So it can just be directly from external stimulus, and it bypasses the thinking mind, the prefrontal cortex, and goes straight to the amygdala, the mm-hmm. fear center in the brain, and that internal alarm goes off. So if you got bitten by a certain breed of dog when you were younger, maybe when you see that dog later on in life, it's just going to trigger that emotional memory. You don't even think about it.
Mm.
It's all the things that you feel scared of, where you don't even, you're not even thinking about it. That's what you could call like a direct kind of anxiety, direct from external stimulation.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's also that information also goes through the prefrontal cortex. So it also gets filtered. What we see goes straight there to the fear center, to link with emotional memories, but it's also filtered through the mind. So we can interpret something we see. We can see a hose, and then we think it's a snake. Mm-hmm. And then that triggers the fear. But that obviously, like, the thinking continues despite external circumstances. So thinking on its own can trigger anxiety when you're identified with it.
Okay.
So that's going straight from the prefrontal cortex to that fear system. So in that way, yeah, they're kind of different types. It's helpful to see those distinctions.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say going on a first date? It could cause a lot of anxiety, uncertainty, very nervousness. What would you say, or is there a tool that you could tell everyone here, something that they could use? They're going on job interviews, just something really like, just to kind of de-stress their body, their mind, just for going on something like this.
Yeah, there's so many self-soothing techniques. I just recommend learning the full range to see what works for you. What you're basically looking to do is employ things that calm the that turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, the body's rest and digest response. So you can purposely turn off that system that is unnecessarily activated, a sympathetic activation, a fight, flight, freeze response. That's what's ramping up when we feel overly anxious about something. So learning to regulate that through extending your exhales, your breath exhales is one thing. You can do double inhale exhales, a physiological sigh. So that turns on the parasympathetic nervous system very quickly. But there are also a range of tools. If you get really overly stimulated, some people find, for example, self-administered EMDR, eye movements. You can apply that to it, or bilateral stimulation.
We've
seen this butterfly papping thing. Seems like it's going to be, it seems like it's sort of crazy hocus pocus. It really does work. If you think about going on the date, let it trigger the adrenaline, and then self-soothe at the same time. It's very powerful for like knocking out that sort of trigger, as it were. But obviously you don't want to apply these things to try and heal deep traumas. You want to do that with someone who's can guide you through that and support you with that.
Yes.
But you can use these tools with certain things. But overall, all of this is secondary to knowing who you really are, because so long as you go into the first date as being a person who needs peace or happiness or fulfillment or something from that person, it will always begin dysfunctionally.
It's a great point. Something that, obviously this is why people come to you. I love it. I hope everybody is getting some good tidbits, because this is amazing. I'm learning so much from you. Thank you. I would love to know, like, maybe top three tools for men listening here, something they could practice on a daily basis for relieving stress. Maybe just like a top three, maybe you could recommend.
Yoga, breath work. I'm going to throw self-administered EMDR in that, but I want to really preface that by saying, like, to heal traumas needs a guided process. But and really, to properly use self-administered EMDR, is better if you have had EMDR delivered to you. But at the same time, very, very powerful. Like, it was so surprisingly powerful how moving the eyes whilst thinking about something uncomfortable can really speed up the processing of that and the release of that, because that's the stuff that's sort of lurking in the background causing the stress, these unprocessed or unended emotional loops, as it were. So you're looking to end those emotional loops, de-stress, shaking. That's, we've gone to four, but a bonus one is you can search bioenergetic shaking, but shaking it out is actually very, very powerful as well.
I love that. Yeah, I haven't heard of the last two until today. So I thank you for that. I'll definitely am going to look that up after we get off here. So I think we kind of talked about this, but having a good relationship in general with anybody, especially, you know, dating, but really starts with yourself. I mean, I think we've talked about this, you know, being aware and being, you know, from love and all of these things, being really open and vulnerable, right, in a relationship, and really accepting not just yourself, but the other as is. Does this just come from your coaching? Like, do you have a system that you kind of get people really there, or is that something that just comes like with practices and stuff, or is it a combination of the two, of coaching with you and practices?
Well, when you've worked on particular, shall we say, issues for a certain period of time, you start to see sort of like the patterns and links between different models. And in terms of relationship, I think the Imago model is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Imago model says is that we seek relationships consciously for pleasure and subconsciously for healing. And it does tend to be, in the experience of all my clients and everything that I can, you know, my understanding of this is that, this seems to be people's experience as well, that we tend to attract, we have an attraction event, you know, a courtship event in our life, and there's this initial sort of spark, this connection. And then at some point, people start triggering each other's wounds. For some people, it can happen instantly, as soon as they meet the person, within the first two texts. Or for some people, it can happen, you know, a year later. Mm-hmm. It's usually within that time, a power struggle kind of starts. Mm-hmm. And this is where the old wounds, the old egoic conditioning gets triggered. And the relationship is... the Imago relationship theory really says to see the relationship as a modality of healing, as well as, you know, pleasure and joy and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it is best if both people are on board with that. But it is also said that even just one person on board with that, seeing a relationship, again, this ties to non-duality, not as a means to make you happy or bring you peace, but to be a celebratory expression of who you already are as love. And within that, unless you're a fully, completely healed, completely awakened person that doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
so you're probably not that because it doesn't exist, then you're probably going to get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
The old, should we say, samskaras, you could say in India philosophy, samskaras, mm-hmm. traumas, you could say, in a kind of trauma therapy lens, contractions, density, or traces of being a separate person, maybe mm-hmm. in a more non-duality way. You know, there's different ways of expressing it, but essentially, like, those things eventually can sort of be dissolved out of the system, as mm-hmm. it were. And then that's what just reveals more of your authenticity naturally.
Yeah, that's good points. For sure. In your personal journey, has there anything that you've learned, say, let's say from that past relationship, that you will absolutely not bring to the next?
I think I've already said it, but yeah, mm-hmm. that never tried to find salvation or permanent fulfillment or peace or happiness in the relationship, and recognize that incredible pleasure, ecstasy, healing, joy, connection, oneness can obviously happen between mm-hmm. people, but it happens more and more in my life in a more, shall we say, purer or deeper or more beautiful way when I'm being knowingly less of a person who's trying to find something within them, validation mm-hmm. or fill an empty hole somewhere in my heart or something. And more, I think it was a silly metaphor. Go from turning up into a relationship with like a half-eaten bowl of ice cream and saying, look, can you fill up my bowl? And then maybe I'll sort of eat some and then I'll give you some. Like, can we arrive to the relationship? Like, I've got a bowl of ice cream, you've got a bowl of ice cream. Let's pour it all in one big bowl and pour chocolate sauce in and tuck it in together. We're already fulfilled.
Yeah.
We're not two halves coming together. We're two wholes recognizing that we're already whole and that we're really beyond oneness. That would be where I would tend to.
I like that analogy. That would
be my approach now.
Two big bowls of ice cream. I like that. Yeah. Chocolate sauce. Don't forget the chocolate sauce. I love it. Okay. Just one other quick personal question that I ask everybody that comes on the show, and it's for a reason, and just try to get to know you a little bit. But if you could, at any point in your dating life, could choose a favorite date, if you remember, or if you can think of something that you really enjoyed, and what was it?
Oh, from my past?
Yes. From anywhere in your life,
okay.
A favorite date, and what was it?
Oh, it's hard to think, like, what was it? What's a date and what's not? Because it's like, it's quite a lot of times where these dates are sort of a planned. Do you mean like when something was like planned as a date?
It can be anything when you're with somebody, enjoying each other, okay. You know, doing, yeah. It doesn't have to be planned.
I mean, I can bring up a few specific times, but
sure.
The theme in those times is where I've been, it's like where we've been to many, if we've been to a few different places, usually for some reason, there's been a lot of fun and joy. If we've been to a few different places, and that can be, it's just like being open. I think if you've got enough energy with someone, you're going to end up doing more things in the night. You might do something joyful, something chill. You might do food as well. You might go to three or four different places. I've done that a couple of times and they've always been the most enjoyable. You're just walking around at night.
Just experiencing something that's not planned, right? A little bit more spontaneous and just going with whatever happens.
Yeah, and I think the walks between the places are also significant.
Yeah. You're just, I feel like there's the connection there, right? The human connection.
I don't know. I think it's like a fantasy of two people on an adventure. It's like you're adventuring through the night, you know, you're walking somewhere. Maybe I did a lot of that in my 20s, walking through the night around London, different parties with, you know, people in relationship as well. So
okay.
Yeah, maybe that's just what I naturally tend to, but everybody's got their own version.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that. So where can people find more information about you, about your coaching, any social media?
Yeah, alexshaler.com, YouTube, Alex Shaler, Instagram, Alex Shaler, TikTok, Alex Shaler.
Okay.
That's it, really.
That's great.
And if you want to speak to me about a program, about transforming your life, then speak to alex.com.
I love that, transforming your life, because it really does. That's really what you're doing, is you're helping people get out of the bullshit, get out of this, you know, the societal things that we've created for ourselves, and really getting it raw and real. Yeah.
There's a transformation that happens, but
yeah,
also, yeah, just sticking with the message that there's also no preconditions to just recognizing that we're already whole.
I love it. Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate you coming on and speaking about what you do and what you can offer people.
Thank you so much, Celeste. Nice to be here.
Yes, have a good one. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode, because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.